You're listening to Mindset Radio, the podcast created to expand your thinking and open up new perspectives.
We recommend you consult your ego, as listening may cause greater self-awareness, moments of self-reflection, and potentially uncomfortable insights, as well as behavioral and performance shifts, leading to incredible results. Listening may also enhance relationships with yourself and others, leading to an extremely satisfying and fulfilled life.
Now, here's your host, Jeff Banman.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all you beautiful souls in between. I am excited about today's episode. So I have invited my dear friend, Maren Richardson, on with me today. Maren runs a company called Disrupt PR. She's the founder. She is a badass in many ways around many things. But a couple years ago, I had a chance to sit. I met Maren at Baby Bathwater. I sat in her your session that you did, right?
Yeah.
Because they generally have new people come in and kind of do a no pitch session. And I was blown away. I mean, I told you that after you won best, session or whatever that year. And I was blown away. And I was blown away because of your ability to articulate an approach or a way of thinking. And that's really the essence here. Like I told you before we got on the show, I think we have enough podcasts out there that you can go find a prescription and you can go Google what you need to do. But more importantly, like, how do we think about these things? How do we approach these things? And so I know we've got a ton of entrepreneurs that listen. We've got a ton of kind of solopreneurs that listen. We've got influencers. We've kind of got an interesting crowd of people. We got a lot of leaders. And, because of my background, you got a lot of like cops and firefighters and military people that listen to this. And so I'm really excited about where we're going to kind of take this conversation today. So good morning. And how are you?
Good morning. What an intro. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And I love these conversations that allow you to really dive in. It's like, especially in a world over Zoom where we're just kind of talking all the time, we don't really connect with people. But then there's that one person you connect with and the conversation, it doesn't matter if it's over Zoom, it still flourishes. So I appreciate it.
So, all right, let's get into some PR thinking here. First off, right, because everybody listening may not really be familiar with PR in general or what PR people do, that's kind of something for a lot of people. That's something like, oh, they only need, the stars need, or the author needs, or whatever else. But I want to hear from you. Talk to me about Disrupt PR, why you do what you do, and give me some road that brought you to where you are today.
Okay. Awesome. Yes. PR, they always say like marketing is what you pay for and PR is what you pray for. PR is hard to come by. It's earned media. So why does that matter? Let's just say you started a business and you're like, okay, I need customers or I need clients. I need people to buy my product or engage with me. And you get on Facebook and you spend $1,000 in some Facebook ads and you just hit go and people start to buy your product and that might work. And that's great. But at some point, your brand is going to grow to a size where people are going to Google you. Should I spend $100 on this? Is this a legitimate company that teaches me? Should I give them $10,000? Should I, invest in this, sleep pad that is super expensive that warms my body at night? Like, so they start to Google things and they start to do their research. And this is where journalism comes in, right? Because these stories, like I was a journalist for 15 years actually. And I was a national TV reporter, and obviously like everything you see on TV in terms of the news and the newspaper and, digital news outlets, these are not paid for play. These are earned. So this is back to the Google search. So you have this company and all of a sudden, like they get a PR team and they've been featured in Inc. and they are like listed as like the top 10 gadgets by TechCrunch, 2024. All of a sudden, people are going to find out about your company and just immediately trust it. It's like the stamp of credibility and legitimacy that your company and your brand gets to stamp on your arm. And like, nobody can ever take it away from you. I always say it's like a Harvard education. Once you're featured in the New York Times, you can put on your website as seen right. in the New York Times forever. Like, and that's not right. just like once. So it's literally like, you know, it's an accomplishment. Yeah. So this is where PR comes in. And one day, I was a national TV reporter, worked at CBS, Fox, NBC, LA. And I was the woman, I was going to say the girl. A girl, not yet a woman. No, I was in between, as I always am. But I was the woman who was on the scene of literally anything. Could have been a murder trial. It could be the red carpet. It could be a fire, a deadly fire. So you talked about firefighters and cops. Yep. I have, you know, spent more time with firefighters, cops, the FBI, like very, you know, interesting people in my life. So that was one of my favorite parts about being a journalist is you're always talking to new people. And I have this natural ability to like sit down with a senator or sit down with a homeless person and have a really meaningful and deep conversation. And that's part of what being a reporter is. It's a beautiful life. I always tell people it's like a cocaine high. Every single day you're off to do something new and you're just like, and then like everything is so exciting. You have no idea where you're going to eat lunch. You have no idea where you're going to go to the bathroom. It's like, it's exciting. However, at some point that got exhausting, and it got exhausting to not have a refrigerator to put my lunch in. It got exhausting. That's just a small joke, but really it's like right. not knowing where you're going to be. And sometimes I'd get home at midnight. And then there are some things I was covering like mass shootings, and I was, you know, the first reporter on scene at the San Bernardino massacre in Southern California. So, you know, the stuff that I saw in that time, like the suspect flying by and, you know, sirens, I had PTSD for a long time from that, like specifically when I would hear sirens. So long story short, this affected me, and my now husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, really helped me realize it when he's sitting watching me like grind my teeth at night trying to figure out like, is this normal? Like, I need a cocktail. I need a drink. This is so heavy. So one day I woke up and realized I had this really special ability to understand the media landscape because I lived the media landscape for 10 plus years at a very high level. And I woke up and realized like, wow, I could really help people. And I could reject clients who I don't want to work with or reject the stories I don't want to work with. And so I could keep my life and my mindset really positive by working with really special people and special, brands and individuals. So that got me excited. Like, I could still do the same thing. I could help orchestrate and navigate stories in the media, but I could do it from like a different angle. So I really like that idea. I love the idea of being an entrepreneur and setting your own schedule. And, you know, I've always been an entrepreneur. So I was the worst employee ever. I've been fired multiple times.
I would have you beat there. I guarantee you. If you,
I have been fired from like most jobs, except my reporting jobs, but most jobs, I just don't listen. I have my own ideas. I go so fast and so hard, and I'm so excited, and I work so hard. And sometimes it's like, so I asked you to put the documents away, and I'm like, oh, I got a better idea. Let's make all the documents digital. And so it's like horrible.
You're bringing back like traumatic flashbacks of my life and how I functioned. I mean, I literally tell everybody like I was the pain in everyone's ass. Like,
oh yeah.
Every leader across the board. I'm sure there's some colonel somewhere retired now, like telling some story about this pain in the ass kid who, you know, wanted to reinvent 500 things or whatever else. I mean,
that's what makes you a great entrepreneur though, I think.
Yeah, totally. So here's what I'm curious about, you know, and listen, your experiences in being in those environments, it has undoubtedly shaped, right, everything you do today.
Oh yeah.
And I think you, like you shared, which made total sense to me, right? Because when I look back at my life now, like for me, it wasn't about being all those things, being a fireman, being this, being that, you know, there was something greater going on for me, you know, but I had to have those experiences to then now do what I do, understand what I understand and have done all the work that I've done. in the past. Like that was critically necessary. And I think sometimes we like, you know, even take away from PR for a second, just in the way we think about our life, you know, we don't always know where we're going to end up. You know, I don't know about you, but I knew at a very young age, 18 years old, that I was like, I was never going to be a career guy somewhere. I was never going to like spend 30 years in a career. Like that just, at a very young age, I was like, no, time out, not doing that. Don't see that on the map. So how do you, now running your PR firm, right? This earned media space, and we'll get in a little more about kind of what that is and how you work. I'm curious, how has that shaped not just now being in PR, but particularly the way you approach it?
Okay. So for the record, I don't share this in real life at dinner parties. So it's just on the podcast that I get really, I go into my background. So many of my friends are like, you did what? It's actually hilarious. But okay, so I think what started with my, I don't know if I told you this, but I used to be a short track speed skater on the national team. So that's what started my mindset. And that's what started like this idea of this like identity that I think I realized when I was like 23. At this point, I was done with speed skating. I graduated college. I started my first reporting job. I was gritty. I was good at what I did. I realized that I was getting thrown into various situations and scenarios in my life, whether there be opportunities or messed up scenarios that were, you know, really tough and challenging. But I would come out in the same position with every single situation. And I started to notice a pattern with myself. And I started to trust myself a little bit and really respect myself. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what shaped me as a reporter, so much so that like I was able to realize like what I bring to the table. I remember when I first started reporting, there was a gentleman at, okay, by first started, I mean 10 years in, when I was at NBC LA, there was a gentleman who was in his 60s and he was so good. Like the context that he provided to viewers, he would say stuff like, and he had this deep, deep, rich voice. And he would say stuff like, I was here back in 95 when this riot started. I was like a baby in 95. That's not fair. I mean, I'm 35 now, but I was like 6 years old in 1995. So I remember thinking, oh, like he has so much more to bring to the table. He's so good. But then I thought, I have something to bring to the table. I have something different. First of all, I'm prettier than he is. Second of all, and he, I think anyone would agree, even him. But second of all, like I had this young, fresh, eager attitude and this grit. Mm-hmm. And I realized like I have something inside of me that I saw at the speeds at the ice rink. And I see it now here as a reporter, and I see it as an entrepreneur. I'm seeing it in all these different patterns, and it's like this grit. And I bring it every single endeavor or challenge that I have. I bring this passion and I bring this zest. And that is kind of like, I think, what shaped my mindset. And that's what gave me the confidence. Before I was an entrepreneur, I was working as a director of, communications at a PR agency. And I took I got a client or two, and I took the leap because I knew that I was going to bring that mindset and bring that zest and bring that grit to entrepreneurship. It gave me so much confidence. I wasn't like, I don't know if this is going to work. I knew it would work out. I knew. So I knew that I was going to be able to help people. So that's kind of like my internal thought of myself, of like who I am as a person. And I bring that everywhere I go. And it's one of the things, there's a lot I hate about myself, just FYI, but this is one of the things I really love about myself.
Well, I mean, and listen, and it is obvious. It was obvious as a gritty person who's done a thing or two. Like, I think that's instantly recognizable in another person. You know what I mean? And it may not be like this aha moment, but there's like there's an energetic compatibility of like, oh, they know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to go through everything. It's like, they know, you know,
they get it.
Right. But you said something interesting, which I think rolls into a lot of what you do, what you talk about, when you're talking about this guy doing, you know, and you said he would bring such great context to the story. And, you know, how we think about things, context is everything. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we know that we can take and pull and shape and reshape context if we want. You know, but creating clarity, or if you have the responsibility to create context for others, like that is a, in my view, over the years, that is a massive responsibility to take on.
Yeah.
Right. Because we got enough.
You can see why I was jealous of him, because, or envious, I should say. And envy is a horrible trait, quality, whatever. But I was envious. I was envious because I wanted to bring context. I wanted to be the reporter that says, hey, I was here in 95. I know what these riots looked like. I knew about the police response. This response in 2021 is different. And I'll tell you why. Like those types of contextual, I wanted that so badly. And I realized, like, after, you know, a couple more years of reporting, I started to provide better context. But I realized, like, the context and approach that I was bringing was different than his. I almost name dropped him a few times. It's so funny. He's a friend of mine. But yet, like, we're different people and we bring different context, and that's okay. And he's got something I don't have, and I have something he doesn't have. And I think that's a really important element to realize as an individual, whether it be as a mother, as an entrepreneur, as a father, as a son.
Yeah. Get out of the comparison game. I mean, I chased that game for so long, and especially in my world, probably very similar, actually. Like if we looked at the behavioral patterns of the reporter journalistic world, and then my world out of the military and the agency, the fire service, you know, in that world, like behaviorally, you know, you're in a place where expectations are really high. Expectations of performance are really, you know, top line. When it's go time, it's go time. When the lights come on, or the camera goes on, or the bell rings, or the house is on fire, or there's bullet, like, you're on. And, you know, there's not a timeout, there's not a retake, and there's not those places. And so you have to develop a different capability and a different confidence, right? And I always like describing confidence as like faith in self, right? And and that's because that's what, if you look at the root wording, that's what it comes down to, right? I have the faith in myself to execute or perform or do what's in front of me. And that is a, like, that comes, right, somewhere along the line, hopefully. Otherwise, you know, I mean, if you think back, if you couldn't create that context for yourself at that set some point where you're like, oh, wait a minute. Who has it taught a great one day? He talked about like how we grow or kind of come into our own. And he's, you know, and the three phases were, we mimic, right? So you probably mimicked him a little bit at the beginning. You'd watch and learn, and what's he doing, and what can I grab from him, and what can I borrow from him? And, you know, and then you move to a phase of improv where now you're kind of like, okay, I've learned what I needed to learn. I got all my education. I've seen who I appreciate, bring some of their stuff in. And then eventually that becomes mastery. And, you know, and that's where, you know, you've been able to reach today because you're cranking your own company, you're doing your own business, you're doing your own thing. So tell me about why disrupt PR. Why, like, you're out of all the, you know, I mean, if you're an entrepreneur, you've been pitched or emailed by, or, you know, just wanted to drop in your inbox real quick and let you know we're a PR firm. You know what I mean? Like, we're inundated with those things out there. But I love your approach. Like, I have, there's a, you know, I would never hire another PR person except you, ever. You could, you know.
But you have to hire me.
I know. You know, let's get listenership up and, you know, and let's take it to the next level, because I'd really like to some stuff up here, you know, at some point.
Yeah.
Change my thinking. So yeah, talk to me about why the disrupt side. Because when I remember when you told me this, this was like, oh, cool. Yeah. So share why.
Yeah. Well, it kind of goes back to who I was telling you I feel like as a person, who I identify as. I am a disruptor. It's why I've been fired from so many jobs. It's why I do things differently. It's why I've been, you know, surprisingly successful in so many different ventures. Is like, I question the status quo. I do things differently. When a client says, I want to do this, I say, why are we shooting for this? Let's go here. Let's go left. And I think a lot of PR agencies, most PR agencies, you've got like a group of publicists who have worked behind their a desk, sitting behind a keyboard their entire career, curious, what does this journalist want to write about? But for me, I already know what the journalist wants to write about. So how can we get so creative and get so outside the box that, you know, the media has to take note? And this mm-hmm. is where that disrupt mindset comes in. We're not for everybody. I'm not going to lie. Like we've had the intro calls with people who are like, there's a safe way to approach things. And not to say that we're unsafe, but like we do take exciting risks. And I think that those, you know, we want to work with disruptive brands and disruptive entrepreneurs. That's one of the reasons why I named the company Disrupt. I want to attract that exact type of person who's willing to challenge things and shake shit up and start something new. I'll give you like a small example. We have one client who's in the, I'm not going to name any names, but he's in the, owns a huge, he's in the real estate business. So he owns this like one of the largest conscious communities in the world where you have like sound baths, meditation, all these things in one single community. And he's like, we want media coverage. We want, you know, people to cover us. And so he came to us and we started working with him. And a couple of months in, our team came up with the idea to, you know, what if you guys got designated as a blue zone? Okay. Mm. Like, so this is obviously like you've seen all the documentaries, you've seen, you know, about the blue zone on Netflix. You probably know that people who live in a blue zone are, you know, living longer. So we did some research and I found out that like to become established as a blue zone, it's actually like a conversation and an application. It's not as detailed as you think it would be. So I think people just look at, yeah. So from a PR perspective, I was like, how great would it be if our client, like instead of me going and chasing reporters around town saying, please cover my client. I'm like, let's just take a break from that for a second. Let's try to get you blue zone status. Because once that happens, the fucking phone's going to be ringing off the hook. So that's an example of thinking outside the box. And right now we're just in the beginning phase of trying to get the blue zone status. So this is like a very new, fresh example, but this is a great example, I think, of like, how do you think outside the box? How can you get media coverage, get media interested in what you're doing rather than us chasing down reporters saying, look how cool this is. Check this out. This is happening in this city in the US. Like, this is a really unique community where, you know, neighbors might come over and bring you a potted plant on a Tuesday. Like, it's like very communal, very different.
Yeah. Listen, I miss when I, you know, the neighborhood I lived in when I was in the military, I mean, I tell people this, like we ate at someone's house almost every night, like, you know, depending on who got home first, because we all came into this court, depending on who got home first, you know, you're standing out, you're like, hey, I've got steaks on the grill. You know, you guys come on over when you're ready. Like that was the norm, like in this tight little community. And so I love this. I love the thought of this because, listen, it, highly relevant to your work in PR, but just even the thinking that goes into, you know, we all kind of have a standard, like, hey, we're walking this way, right? What we're walking this way, we're walking this way, you know, but at times we have to be able to step back and be like, okay, yeah, we can trudge down this line and you can chase down reporters and you can send articles and your team can write stuff and you can put everything out and you can do the thing. And we'll eventually get there, right? We'll get a little media coverage here. We'll get something there. We'll get there and you're going to do your job. And so they're going to get what they need to get. However, to literally go, wait a minute, what would bring all this to us, right? What would bring the attention to us? What makes a reporter pick up the phone and call Marin and go, hey, I heard your client is now a blue zone. I want to interview, you know, want to talk about it. Right. And so that level of thinking of opening up those creative lines, that takes something. Now, do you feel like you were all the way back to Little Marin for a minute, right? Thinking back to being a little girl, playing around, running around the house. Do you feel like that was innate in you always, or do you feel like that's something that came about through the course of your existence?
Both.
Okay.
Little fun story, 30-second story. I was 4 years old in the grocery store, and this is just me questioning things, right? The guy's bagging up our stuff, and I said, "Hi, how are you?" And I waved to him, started talking to him. I asked him how his day was going, and my mother, when we got in the parking lot, said, "You don't talk to strangers you don't know." And I said, "How is that a stranger? He's my friend. He talked to me." So even me at 4 years old, I'm questioning my mom. I'm saying, "That doesn't make sense, Mom. He's not a stranger. I befriended him." And she was like, "This is going to be an interesting life with this kid."
Which you will experience here in a few years.
Yeah. Yeah. And another quick little snippet is like, I was 7 years old and my mom was like, "So we're going to go to Italy on a vacation," or maybe I was like eight. She said, "Whatever, if you make any money, cause you do chores and that kind of thing, I will double it. And you can have that spending money in Italy to have to go shopping with your mom." And I was like, okay. So I think my mom thought I was going to go and, you know, start a lemonade stand and make like $30 or $40. She would match it. I did 80. This is like the 90s. 80 bucks was like a lot of money. So I started hustling. I went over to my grandfather's house every single day. I started hustling. I did chores for him. I made him a sandwich and I charged him. I would give him a glass of water. That was a dollar. He loved it too, by the way. He was all for it. Anyways, I made, in the course of like 2 weeks, I made $375, and my mom had to match it. She was like, oh, like an 8 year old walking around Rome with $800 in cash. I went straight to the diesel store and got myself a pair of jeans with a matching jean jacket. But the point is like doing things differently and definitely started at a young age, and then realizing that that's kind of your aura and your confidence and who you are, and it's like traveling with you to all the things you do. Like, it comes with you to the gym, it's here during this podcast, it's there at night when I'm going to sleep, it's there when I'm decorating my quirky house. You can see the cowhide rug on the floor. It's just like all these things come together and make you who you are.
Yeah, no, it is just curious to me always. Like, I love, you know, and I now with the kids, that's almost how I compliment them now. Like, and almost anybody, I will tell them, I'll just, you know, get in a conversation with somebody and I'll just stop and be like, "God, you know, I really admire how you think." And I feel like
that's a wonderful compliment.
It's the best compliment in the world, isn't it? Like, I tell the kids, it's like, when I think, I love how their brain works, you know what I mean? Like, just watching.
It's beautiful when your life sort of pans out to allow you to like live your truest essence or aura. And it doesn't happen for everybody. And it's sad. Like, there are people who are in really, you know, in a war zone, or they have to work 20 hours a day to feed their families, and like their truest playful or their, you know, strong mindset can't shine. And that makes me sad. And when it does align, it's beautiful. It's a blessing and it's beautiful.
Well, and I'll tell you, from traveling the world, you know, and being in all those places over time, like, it has always amazed me how I will see children anywhere around the world, conditions that, you know, you and I would cringe at, you know, and even like they don't even enter into our thought as a possibility, and yet they're having a blast, you know, yet they're doing things right. And so I think, and it goes back to the context, right? And you know, what context we create for ourselves and for our kids and for our family and for the people around us. You know, what does that look like? And then, you know, how do we break that mold? How do we begin to think differently around things? So I want to ask you this question, you know, just because such a variety of audience really listening to this, from your background, from your expertise, from your wisdom, right? But I always like to borrow wisdom from people when I can, you know, I think we've all got it, and, you know, pulling it out and stuff. And so, one of the interesting things that has come about for me over these last couple of years is, I think in like almost in every minute of every day now, I think in like this macro micro view of human evolution, like what's happening with me, what's happening with Marin, what's happening with so-and-so, right? And their individual kind of journey through life and their own growth and what they're dealing with. And then what does that look like globally? What does that look like at a macro scale for, you know, humanity at large? And, you know, today you can pick up your phone and within an hour or less, reach millions of people, right? Even if you're not somebody, even if you're not an entrepreneur or a thought, whatever the thing you think it might be, you could just fling your phone up and have a rant and that rant could go everywhere, right? And so
yeah.
We do have to, I believe that also comes with a depth of responsibility for all of us as well. And, you know, that we are appropriately considering what we're about to open our mouth and say. From your PR background and, you know, from your own life and your reporting and everything else that you've done, like what's a message to the average person out there, you know, who's just posts on social media every once in a while, who does their own thing, you know, no, they're not doing anything, but what would you offer to them to think about before they made that post, before they shared that thing, or how they could potentially share something that they know to be really valuable for others, so that that message can be heard well? Don't mean to put you on the spot, but you know, but
yeah,
you're on the spot now.
This is hard. Social media is like what was effective yesterday wasn't effective 2 years ago, and what's effective now may not be effective next year. So it's challenging.
Yeah, and I think less about like the algorithm stuff and the things and the whatever, but like if I came to you and said, hey, Marin, you know, I hired you, you're my PR person, you know, hey, we're relaunching the podcast, we're doing this, we're doing these things, this is, we're out to disrupt the way people think or approach stuff, like whatever, you know, what would you, and I said, hey, I'm going to do these posts every morning, right? I'm going to do my reels every morning, or I'm going to do my TikTok thing or whatever it might be. Like out of your wisdom, sitting down and going, Jeff, come here. I want to tell you a few things before you do this. What are those things you would tell me?
I see. Okay.
How's that?
Well, knowing your demographic. So like I said earlier, you're not for everybody. And none of us are for everybody. So understanding your demographic and being okay with, if you're going to wake up in the morning and talk about your experiences in the CIA or your experiences in, you know, the military, understand that, like, you know, someone who's on Instagram for makeup tutorials is not going to look at that. She may never see that and she's not going to be interested in that. So with that, own your demographic, speak truly. I think there's a lot of social media and accounts and entrepreneurs who just kind of stay quiet. They're afraid of cancel culture and they're afraid of saying the wrong thing, but you know, they're not sure what to say. So I think identifying what you can say that would help others starts obviously with the demographic. Who the hell are we talking to? Because otherwise you're not going to know how to help them. And then what wisdom do you have personally that you can share? And then of course, with social media, it comes down to the quality. So I could type up something in my notes section. You know, it's funny. Adam Grant does that. He on his Instagram, he just types up something in his notes section. He screenshots it and he posts it, which is so funny because that's going to go against what I'm saying. Because you asked me to answer this for the average person. Maybe you're Adam Grant listening to this. Hey, Adam, but maybe you're not. And I would say that's a pretty bad way to get your point across is to just type it on notes. He's already has a following. He's like a philosopher. He's so smart. Like the way he comments on society is so meaningful that he's already built up his fan base and people know, like, you're just going to see his ideas in his notes and he's going to post it. And it's like, okay, cool. However, if you're trying to, you know, get on the map, like think of a new way and a quality way to connect with people. I think I see a lot of people on Instagram like talking in this little box and they put the text down and it's like on a podcast. It's like everyone's kind of doing that. So how can you do it differently? Maybe you do a podcast where you're hanging out on the beach. Maybe I thought this too. Maybe there's a podcast where you have dinner with people over Zoom.
Yeah.
Like we literally share a meal together. I've thought about different ways, or you smoke a joint. I've thought about that too.
Totally.
So just like new ways to kind of just break the mold. So I think in a way, Adam Grant did break the mold because he just literally posts these notes. And if you were to start doing that, I think it would be boring and I don't think it would get attention. So that's why I wouldn't advise you to do it. So I guess the answer is tricky. I would say something, let your creativity, let your, whatever approach you have to life, let that come through in the way that you create content that you share with others. You know, if you consider yourself, you know, artful and colorful, then put that in your content, you know, and include that visually as well, because social media is so visual. If you consider yourself direct and to the point, maybe you have an Instagram where you drop nuggets of information. You're like, you do you, boom, that's it. Or like, I'm not for everybody, or like, boom, that's it. Like whatever it is that you have, you own it and you try to figure it out. And I think it's hard, and the whole algorithm puts a lot of pressure on people to like, what's my brand? What's my purpose? How am I different? And it's so intense that I would say, don't stress too much about it and know that your day should be filled with meaning. And if you don't figure out how to reach millions of people via social media, you can still get a PR team and get into Forbes and Inc. and all these different places without owning your brand. Social media takes a lot of time and a lot of.
Yeah. I've actually, like in a couple of my relaunch podcast, a few other things, like I've laid out the boundaries. I'm like, here's what you can expect from me and what you do not expect from me. Like, you're not going to get, you know, I may skip a day. I may skip a week. If I go on vacation and shit's not prepped, I don't really care. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I get that's against the grain and I'm going to lose people or followers. You know, at the end of the day, it's like, I mean, like, where's the balance of my life, what I love to do, what I'm capable of offering or giving or contributing, and then to the scale tipping over to now I'm just exhausted because now I've got to shoot 5 more posts or do this thing or make it look this way.
I was going to say, if you go on my social, I'm agreeing with you 100%. If you go on my social, you'll see I'm not posting that much. I'm busy hustling. I'm busy getting clients, you know, big placements and getting them traction in the PR space. Like, you know, when I'm working on that, I'm not sitting around say, hey guys, how are you? Like, it's just, to me, and I know that this is not a popular opinion. A lot of people,
this is the place for unpopular opinions, by the way. So you're good.
Yeah. You know, I know that a lot of people use it to their advantage. It's not that I haven't figured that out. It's just that I'm busy hustling in other realms and I'm fine with that. It doesn't mean I'm not on social media. I'm there and I do post, but I'm not showing everyone my dinner or like showing everyone my bubble bath. Like, I'm not into that. You know, it's like, I don't have time for it. I want to share. And, you know, I've started to share like thought leadership and valuable insights on LinkedIn. I think that's a really great place to share meaningful, because you will find your audience there.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if that answered your question.
No, it's great. Well, listen, I mean, it is the... we've been talking for about 45 minutes and everything we have talked about really has been, how can I approach this? How can I think about something? How can I consider showing up, you know, the way I want to show up? I mean, I think that's been my battle forever. Like, always trying to plug into how some version of what it should look like, feel like, this, that, you know, and then the confidence. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I would say only in this last year has my confidence in my own understanding and wisdom and ability to share that come together. I know that may sound crazy, but that's
right. Why do you think? Why do you think? Why do you think?
I mean, I had so much stuff in my way, and honestly, I struggled so much. I mean, you know, and we're going to talk about it through the course of, you know, other episodes and other shows and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I was up against a lot in my life, you know, that came basically at birth, you know, and then enhanced by my life doing stupid things. And so, there was always, you know, I grew up in an environment that was like, that was just riddled with judgment and questioning and all the, and so that caused me in my life to constantly question myself. Am I okay to do this? Am I not okay to do this? Am I okay being me? Am I not okay being me? I mean, I have been through it at exhaustive levels. And it really, and it kept me like from just stepping out, if you will, you know, into a full blown, okay, here I am kind of place. And,
but it's interesting, regardless of your background, you still possess this energy and this vibe where you are curious and you're open and you're willing to have a conversation and say, you know what? It's like a self-reflection thing. It is interesting that I, you know, question myself, but why am I doing that? And how can I change that? What are the conversations I can have to facilitate something different for myself? And I think that's the energy that's important, not the background where you came in and you, you know, it's the ability, the adaptability, the willingness to change and be nimble on your feet. I think that's the one of my favorite qualities.
Yes, that you are. You
in a person.
Huh? And what?
In a person. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, that's my favorite quality in a person for sure.
Yeah. I mean, my too. I that's you are. You just nailed it 100%. Because like all the stuff, you know, all the stuff on the wall, all the things like that doesn't matter, you know, but it has really, led to a great space, just like your stuff. So, all right, young lady. Well, as we get to wrap up, any other final thoughts for our listeners, anything you'd like to share, anything you'd like to bless the world with today? It doesn't have to be related to PR or anything else. Just give me some Mary Richardson goodness as we close this thing out.
Okay. No pressure. I feel like a prophet.
I'll shrink this. Yeah, be profitable. Be that for a minute. Be like okay. What is something that you sit with that, you know?
Yeah. In this busy, overactive, crazy world where half of your, you know, so many of your friends are getting to be the fittest they've ever been. Some of your friends are making more money than they could ever imagine. Other friends are, you know, doing different. At the end of the day, like, are you able to sit there and be happy with the decisions that you're making each day? And so it's like, I try to bring love to my family and to my relationships every single day and really not worry about the constant FOMO of, hey, I'm not in Costa Rica right now. I wish I was. Although I really do wish I was. But, you know, I think like it's okay to not have everything and be everything and just have a your days look kind of monotonous sometimes. And, you know, I think what is important that wherever you are in the world and whatever you're doing, you're bringing love, peace, happiness, and enjoyment to those moments and good intention. Because I feel like if you bring all that wherever you go, your day is going to be great and your week is going to be great and your family is going to be okay. That's all we can do. I mean, I don't have control over what's going on in Israel. I don't have control over anything. You know, it's just like all this stuff's so external that at the end of the day, it's your mindset and who you are that and how you choose to act on a daily basis that really defines your life and quality of life. Because we're only here for, 90 years, 100 years?
So. I decided the other day that I'm going to live to 100.
Okay. Because 100. Yes, we could do the blue zone.
Yeah. So listen, I really sat down. Like this is something like when you start to hit 50, things are different. Things just, this is wildly different. You know, yeah. But for a long time, I thought I would live to like 92. I felt like that was good. For some reason, that number sat with me. But the other day I was like, no, I want to live to 100. I want to experience 100 years of life. You know, I watched, I watched the other day, I'm going to have the girls come in and sit down and I want to watch it all together. But there's like on Nat Geo or something, there's a documentary series called Generation X. And I was watching it the other day and I'm just literally going, man, the things that have come about already in this 50 years of life for me is unreal. Like I don't want to miss the next 50 years. I want to see like, where are we in 100 years? So I'm committing to living to 100, you know, and then
I love that.
Peace out. Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you
want to look back?
Be like, holy
yeah, cow, you need to do an episode which like what your plan is and how you're planning to live to 100, and maybe you could get some like health specialists on. That'd be a great episode.
Oh, totally. I mean, we'll start. I reached out to Ben Greenfield the other day. I think he's coming on soon, and you know, to talk about the why. I mean, these guys that have like have invested their life in longevity and like just the meat sack, right? Understanding the system and how to keep it functional. So yeah, I'm definitely want to look forward to that. So, all right. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining me this
morning. Of course. Thank you.
Greatly appreciate it.
That's going to wrap up today's episode. And thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's conversation and want more, you can follow Jeff on Instagram at Mindset06Actual and on TikTok as Mindset Radio. Also, check out the Mindset Radio YouTube channel, as Jeff will be taking everything he's learned over the last 30 years about life, performance, and human behavior into a series of lectures and thoughtful explorations. If you're looking for a like-minded community, then we'd love to see you in our group, Hang with Jeff, where we go deeper into topics like we discussed today with direct support, live Q&As, and a whole lot more. Head on over to mindsetradio.com/hangwithjeff. Again, that's mindsetradio.com/hangwithjeff. Now, if you're feeling like you could use some one-on-one attention or direct support, you can always head on over to mindsetradio.com/bookme and grab a slot anytime. That's mindsetradio.com/bookme and grab a slot anytime. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and share. After all, it's what makes the world go round. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.